Rebound Zubats. He loses it. Suns get it back to Rubio. Time. 6 seconds left in the game. Out to Booker. 5 seconds. 4 seconds. Booker on the drive. Goes up. Here's the shot. Shoot! He got it! And the Suns win the game. Devin Booker at the buzzer puts it up and puts it in. Oh, brother. Oh,
what a play by Devin Booker.
Okay, the single greatest shot in his NBA career. The single greatest shot in the most important game of his career.
Yes.
Now, I totally expect that he will make many other big shots, and I fully expect that someday we won't look at this as the biggest game. There will be many more games of more importance for Devin Booker. But up until now, that was the most important game that he has played as an NBA player with the Phoenix Suns. And that was the biggest shot that he's made, bar none. I mean, I don't even know how you can compare any other to that shot.
I don't know how you could. I know there have been individual accomplishments. His 70-point night at Boston comes to mind, obviously. But there was so much more at stake here, as we've talked about many, many times. That was our reaction on the air yesterday when Booker hit the shot against the Clippers. If you're just joining us here, 5 o'clock hour, the Burns and Gambo show, we were airing the Suns game on ESPN 620 with about 2 minutes to go in the game. Gambo had the suggestion, and it was a great one, to you know, turn on Al McCoy and Tim Kempton and bring you the play-by-play of that game for the last minute and a half of it. So our microphones were, as we like to say in the business, hot. While Al and Tim were doing the play-by-play, so that was our reaction in real time. And,
yeah.
And if you could hear it, you could hear the delay. We reacted to Al, and then about 5 seconds later, we saw the shot, and that's when you and I both really lost our minds, because our video feed
was a few seconds behind the radio.
So do you want the player reaction to Booker this morning, or do you want the media reaction to Booker this morning? What do you want me to start with?
Let's do both, but let's do player.
Okay, player reaction. They're both great, by the way. It's not like the media reaction was bad. Player reaction. I'm going to start with LeBron James on Instagram. That boy too cold. D-Book tough, says LeBron with a picture of Booker rising up above Paul George to hit that shot.
Ice in his veins cold?
That kind of
ice
cold.
In his veins
that
cold.
That boy too cold.
Yeah.
D-Book tough.
Getting some love from LeBron.
Donovan Mitchell, that's tough. Bradley Beal, D-Book, my goodness, specia. Trey Young, damn, Book, that's tough. J.J. Redick, Booker is ridiculous. Jared Dudley, the world needs to know how good Devin Book is. Isaiah Thomas, Book got hoop game. On and on it went from some of the better to best players in the NBA who all took notice of exactly what Devin Booker did yesterday.
You know, I think that those players appreciate the difficulty of making a shot like that with no time left. Two of the best defenders in the NBA draped all over you, falling back, getting fouled on the play. The degree of difficulty of that shot is, and every player dreams of hitting a shot like that,
yes.
Right? And Booker was able to get that. But I do think the degree of difficulty, the magnitude of the game, the players that were defending him, just the level of difficulty on the shot itself, spinning and everything. Guys looked at that one shot and like, man, I can't make that shot.
Yeah,
I could try that 15 times. I'm not going to make that shot.
I can't find it in my email, but I'll just go off the top of my head. I sent you a link to an NBA.com story in which apparently they rank tough buzzer beaters like that.
With Robert Ories?
In terms of Ories.
5 Ories.
And they gave it 5 out of 5 Ories.
Yeah, 5 out of 5 Ories.
And they said that Ory is, you know, if you remember for Robert Ories' career, as much as we hate him here in Phoenix,
clutch.
He had a penchant for hitting shots just like that. So at NBA.com, they get 2 out of 5 Ories, 3 out of 5 Ories.
They got 5.
5. 5 out of 5 Ories. Yeah, and one of the, and I'll get to the headlines from the stories and the media reaction in a minute, but one of the stories I read about Booker this morning said, look, analytically speaking, those who dive deep into the numbers have always been kind of so-so on Devin Booker, but the players love him. The players recognize how good he is. The players have a special. It's the reason why you saw Damian Lillard react the way he did when he knew he wasn't going to go to the All-Star game, and he insisted
to make sure the Booker got
the spot.
Him.
Players respect game. And players respect his game so much so that I think he's got a little bit of a following around the NBA in terms of his ability to take over games like that and do what he did yesterday. He was 4 of 6 in the fourth quarter in that game, 35 points overall, that huge shot. It was magnificent performance, obviously.
Yeah, he's a special player, and you need special players to win in this league. They've got to build the right team around him, and I think they're just getting started.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see what James Jones does with this roster in the offseason.
Bleacher Report, Devin Booker becoming more than a stats star for rising Phoenix Suns. CBS Sports, Devin Booker among early winners in the NBA bubble. Quote, Booker is turning into a superstar in front of our eyes, and Phoenix is 3-0. They called it a Kobe-like game winner for Booker in their write-up. Hoops Hype. Devin Booker is showing out in the biggest games of his career. And it writes, wasn't that long ago, some questioned Devin Booker and whether he was an empty stats player. And they're the ones who pointed out. It should say something that players have always seemed to have a higher opinion of Booker than many basketball analysts do, and that's because they see how rare Devin Booker's game is. And again, it goes back to that Kobe comparison.
Yeah, you know, I took a shot at SportsCenter last night. They did this poll. I'm so tired of a lot of the Stephen A. Smith and Devin Booker to the Knicks. And before that, it was Devin Booker to L.A. with Kyle. Man, these guys that don't watch the Suns and don't know, I honestly hate hearing them talk. I really do. I hate hearing them talk. I almost, when one of those shows is on and they want to talk about something locally, I know what's coming. I know they're going to be ill-informed and not know a damn thing about what's going on. Stick to the New York and the L.A.s, because that's what you guys know.
Sure.
Don't talk about Phoenix, because you sound stupid. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, if it's Cardinals-related, if it's Suns-related, it doesn't. They're just dumb when it comes to those. And it's truth. And, you know, I mean, just a month ago, Stephen A. Smith was pining for Devin Booker to be traded to the Knicks.
Yes.
And gave all these reasons why. And all of them were just stupid. Just stupid reasons. Like, man, they give you a talk show. That's unbelievable. And before that, it was, let's send them to L.A. for Kyle Kuzma. It's just some of the dumbest stuff that's spewed, and it's so ridiculous. I don't know, it just frustrates me.
Here's Monty Williams earlier today when he met with the media from the Zoom in the bubble. Booker puts in the hard work, and he hasn't even reached his prime yet.
I think a lot of this just, you know, speaks to the work that he puts in his game. And you know, to think that he's as young as he is and hadn't even reached his prime is pretty cool. And, you know, I'm glad I don't have to game plan for that anymore, because you never know how he's going to do it. You know, he can post, he can play mid-range, he can play outside, he can facilitate. And his defense has been something that I don't think people have recognized enough. He doesn't duck a matchup.
I want to bring this up again, even though I know Sarah just brought it up in the update just a second ago. Two teams the Suns needed to lose today, both lost. Memphis lost to Utah. San Antonio lost to Denver.
And the hits keep coming.
Memphis
Good
is now
news.
0-4 in the bubble. Wow. San Antonio is 2-2 in the bubble. The way it stands right now, Memphis is still the 8th seed. Portland is only a game back. The Spurs and the Pelicans are both 2.5 back.
Of Memphis.
The Spurs and the Pelicans, are 2 back of Memphis. The Suns are 2.5 back of Memphis. The Phoenix Suns are only a half game away from passing the Spurs and the Pelicans to move all the way up to 10th in the Western Conference.
The only thing that really matters is how far out are you from being the 9 seed, right? Doesn't matter who gets the 8 seed, whether it's Portland or Memphis. You just have to be 9th.
Yes.
You just have to be 9th.
Right now, the Suns are a game and a half from 9th in the Western Conference.
And they could close that to a game possibly tomorrow.
They could. Still two teams in front of them to get to 9th.
Yeah.
But they're a game and a half back from 9th in the Western Conference.
No matter what, you know, listen, if they lose these next two games, then it's done and over, okay? If they lose the next two. Like, so if they're 3-2 after 5 games, it's probably over. But the great thing for them is that the game tomorrow matters.
Yes.
And that's on Thursday, and then the game Saturday will matter.
Yep.
So they will at least play two more games that have meaning. Now, I don't think they can afford to lose two games. I don't think that they can.
But I do think they can afford to lose one.
I think they can afford to lose one.
I agree. I agree. I think they can.
So that means to me that no matter what, these next two games are games that they're going to play hard that have a lot of meaning.
Indiana tomorrow, the Miami Heat on Saturday.
Ooh, the Heat. And the Heat, Goran Dragic left the game yesterday with an ankle injury. Had an ankle injury. Just, FYI on that.
Yeah, when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show on this Wednesday afternoon, we were told that he was a brand new pitcher with the way he was performing during D-back summer camp. Apparently, those reports were based off the fact that he was pitching to the Diamondbacks themselves. When are we going to see that version of Robbie Ray now that the games count for real? That's coming up right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck. Brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try the toasted s'more shake only for a limited time at Sonic. And by 72 Sold. Sell your home in 72 hours and net thousands more.
The Arizona Diamondbacks game two of their three-game series against the Houston Astros tonight, which is coming up at 6:10 this evening here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. So our pregame coverage kicking in here in just a few minutes. So we'll get you ready for the game tonight with our own pregame coverage here on the Burns and Gambo Show. We call it D-backs on deck as we preview tonight's matchup as the Diamondbacks 3-8 so far on the year, struggling just about every single way a team can struggle so far to start this season. Pitching, offense, none of it has been working for the Diamondbacks. None of it was working last night in the 8-2 loss. This team has given up the most home runs as a pitching staff in Major League Baseball, and they've hit the fewest home runs in Major League Baseball. They still only have two on the
year. You know, somebody asked me, boy, why do the Diamondbacks have so few home runs? And I was like, well, if you can't put the bat on the ball, you can't hit a home run. It's the truth. Well, like I said, I'm making you laugh here. How are you supposed to hit a home run if you can't hit the ball?
Exactly.
So when you're when everybody's batting 088, I mean, they're not hitting.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to actually put the bat on the ball to have a chance at a home run. Yeah, that was my answer. Why aren't the Diamondbacks hitting any home runs? Because they're not putting the bat on the ball. They're not hitting the ball.
Let's
get any hits.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Let's talk about our pitching matchup tonight. Brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to Berg Simpson. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's B-U-R-G Simpson.com for the Houston Astros. And news about the rest of their rotation for this series coming up in just a moment. But Lance McCullers is getting the start tonight. The curveball specialist, the righty. He's 1-0, 5.40 ERA so far this year. Going up against Robbie Ray, and it's been a real struggle for Robbie this year. 0-2, 8.64 ERA. We heard during summer camp all those weeks how well he was pitching, how far advanced he was, how strong he was looking. We have yet to see any of that so far out of Robbie at the start of this season.
Yeah, you know, McCullers was coming back from Tommy John surgery. He was solid in his return, got bailed out by the defense a little bit. So, he's a guy that's been around for a while, a solid pitcher. Robbie Ray is, look, the first game, obviously, that big home run that he gave up to Will Myers was a huge blow. And in the last time, again, laboring, couldn't get through five innings, went 4 2/3, gave up five runs on five hits. And the alarming thing, six walks on 94 pitches. He has given up nine hits and nine walks in only 8 1/3 innings this year. And the thing is, he gave up three in the first inning on 20 pitches in the last game. Then he's at 50 pitches by the second inning. And you know what's going to come, right? I mean, the guy labors through four innings. You're hoping to get five out of him. Robbie Ray needs to get out of these innings quicker. It has to happen.
It does. He has to put guys away sooner. Is he not being aggressive enough? Is he not going after guys when he gets ahead of guys? Is he
just
nibbling too
much? Command's not good.
Or is it ultimately he just doesn't know where it's going to go? But
yes,
you're right. The numbers have not been
good.
Nine
walks. He's walking a batter an inning. He doesn't know where the ball's going.
There was an interesting story today talking about Robbie Ray. We all saw what happened to the Braves a couple nights ago when they lost their ace, Mike Soroka, with a torn Achilles. And somebody at CBSSports.com today put together a list of pitchers that if the Braves were so inclined that they might want to go after around the trade deadline. Robbie Ray made their list. Now, a couple things would have to happen there. The Diamondbacks would have to continue to not be very competitive, and Robbie Ray would have to pitch at least a little better than what he's pitching now for him to garner any kind of level of attractiveness on the market, right? I mean, there's not going to be a lot of teams that are going to want a guy who's got to pitch an ERA of 8.5. So
no.
He's got to pitch better, and the Diamondbacks have to continue to play poor for Robbie Ray to even be available to the Braves a few weeks from now.
Well, the question is, what can you get for a guy? Remember, this isn't like getting a guy in July and you've still got all of August and all of September. Whatever, if you make a trade at the deadline, you're basically getting a guy for 1 month. It's a 1 month rental, and then you hope that he helps you in the playoffs. Robbie's value to me wouldn't be very high. I don't think that Mike Hazen would be able to get very much for Robbie Ray. One, based on the way he's pitched. Two, based on just what, you know, what the market will be. But, you know, we'll see. If he pitches better, maybe somebody thinks that he's a guy that could be the third starter. Look, yeah. The Astros so desperately wanted Greinke last year, they gave up four prospects to get him. Robbie Ray's not going to get you anything like that, but if you could get one decent prospect for Robbie Ray, you might consider it.
I got news about Zach Greinke in a moment, but first I want to toss it back to the studio where Matt Hergis talked today about Robbie Ray and how we can get his pitch count down.
I mean, ultimately, he's built. He's like a horse, so he's built. He prepared to his first outing through 100 pitches. So, yeah, he's. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about how quickly he gets to that pitch count, that limit, that whatever it is, 100 or whatever we're going to give it today. And ultimately, it's just being efficient in zone. He hasn't been that. I think the changes he's made recently, it's a work in progress, like all things. If you're struggling and you're going to make a change, you can't really, I mean, you hope for immediate results. And I'm not setting anything up tonight. I think he's going to be fine tonight. It's going to take an inning, a two innings, three innings to really start getting comfortable again and believing that he can throw the ball where he wants to.
The Astros have made a change to their rotation. You mentioned Greinke a moment ago. He is not starting tomorrow's game against the Diamondbacks. He's been pushed back a day, so he'll go Friday against the A's. Brandon Belak, a rookie, will make his major league debut tomorrow for the Houston Astros in the finale of this three-game series.
So catch not a break, chance, right? You would think you catch a break, but faced a rookie yesterday making a second start,
right,
and couldn't get anything going against them. So you got to take advantage of these opportunities. I mean, Zach Greinke's not going to pitch, you know. You get a rookie in there, you got to take advantage of that.
The lineup tonight, only a couple of changes. Stephen Vogt is handling the catching duties tonight. We think he's kind of become the guy for Robbie Ray.
Yeah.
That sounds right. I haven't noticed that trend, but that sounds right. He is handling the catching duties tonight. John Jay is the designated hitter tonight. Other than that, it's the same lineup that we've grown accustomed to seeing. So after the wholesale changes last night in the sixth inning, no real changes outside of catcher and DH for Torrey today in the lineup.
Yeah, and a lot of people are going to say, why isn't Andy Young playing? You know, how do you have a guy that comes up with two hits and he was hot and he had two? How does he not get back in the lineup? Well, Torrey knows that he's got to win with the guys that you know, that he has, the starters, and he's got to get them going. But that's a question, is, you know, to me, you know, Andy Young got two hits yesterday. The kid was hot. To me, I want to get him back out there. I want to give him some more at-bats and see what he could do. They need somebody that can carry this offense.
Yeah, but that it not to be the case tonight. Maybe we'll see him at some point later in the game. Certainly, we just, across the board, a better effort. It would be so gratifying to see a better effort tonight across the board from the Diamondbacks, because it has been a mess for the last week.
Yeah, let's not have all the starters benched in the fifth inning again. How about that?
That's a good idea. Well, maybe that's the keys to the game, brought to you by San Chevrolet. San Chevrolet is your home team for no payments until 2021 on select models. Head to sanchevrolet.com for details. Is that the key? Do not bench your starters in the sixth inning.
Listen, I'm going to steal this from Carlos Correa. The key is you got to feel sexy. Carlos Correa, after the game last night, it's about discipline and feeling sexy. I think the D-backs players, the hitters, they need to feel sexy. That's what helped Carlos Correa get out of his slump last night. Discipline and feeling sexy, the key to the game tonight.
Well, that's not exactly what I was expecting you to say, but you know what, Gambo? I'll take it. If the Diamondbacks need to feel sexy to get themselves a win.
Bring
tonight.
It back.
So be it.
Bring sexy back.
So be it. That's going to do it for us. Diamondbacks baseball is coming up next. Stay safe. Thanks for listening to us. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Have a good night, everyone.